Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola. And Tony, when I got the call to be on today's show, I cleared out my entire schedule.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, that's so nice of you, but weren't you just on Around the Horn? Weren't you?
That was an AI thing. You know, they can do that now.
Oh, that wasn't...
With computers.
Wasn't really you? Oh,
no,
okay. That's good to know.
A better-looking version of
this. This is me. Sad to say, this is me. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. It's April Fool's Day, but no Wilbon means no joke this year. With me today is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
That's real. That's definitely real.
Good cheers. That's fun. And we begin today with the men's Final Four, Frank. There are two number one seeds, Connecticut and Purdue. There's a four, Alabama, and an 11, North Carolina State. Frank, you watched. I watched. Whose win was the biggest news to you?
All right. I want to say UConn in some ways because they have a 10-game winning streak in the NCAA tournament, and they've won every game by at least 13 points, and they go on a 30-0 run in that game. You don't see that, especially against an Illinois team, which was one of the best offensive teams in the country. But I'm looking at NC State, what they did to Duke, and this kid, DJ Burns, who right now for me is the face and the body of the men's NCAA tournament. He is so much fun to watch. He had 21 of his 29. And Tony, this is a guy that you know really well, Jim Valvano. It's hard to believe it was 41 years ago. The runs are somewhat similar. Yeah. This team also had to win the ACC championship to get into the tournament. They have won 9 straight elimination games in theory, and they had to beat Duke twice. And here they are in the Final Four for the first time since 83. It's a little hard to believe it's been that long.
Yeah, I was tempted. I am tempted to agree with you and say North Carolina State because I was truly surprised at how easily they handled Duke. But maybe I shouldn't have been. Maybe I shouldn't have been because they beat them a couple of weeks ago in the ACC tournament.
Right.
Their big guy, DJ Burns, who is a load, he dominated Filipowski. I mean, I think he's an NBA player down the road. And you know, as you say, they're on this 9-game heater. 5 of those games were against ranked teams, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised. So what I'm going to say to you is the biggest news was Purdue, because Purdue is a great story, and Purdue has earned this. Last year, Purdue was knocked out in the first round by a 16 seed when they were number one, and everybody threw them under the bus. Well, now they're about 2/3 of the way to pulling a Virginia at this point. Yeah. I will tell you, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, that the Tennessee-Purdue game was the best game on the board. And Connect and Edie did everything that we expected them to do in a big game. Connect, I think, had either 36 or 37, and Edie had 40 and 16. And people need to stop talking about what he might not be able to do in the pros.
That's right.
And concentrate on how great he is as a college player. And I will amplify what you said about Connecticut, because I'm sorry Wilbon's not here. He skipped town because he doesn't want to defend his pick of Illinois to win entire tournament. And they spit the bit. 30 to nothing. They're a 3 seed. 30 to nothing. That's obliteration, Holmes. I mean, honestly. And Shannon, who Wilbon says the best player in America, I think he went 2 for 12.
He had
8 points. But if I had to pick the real news, I think if I was writing a column, my column would be Purdue, because I it feels like a certain amount of vindication to me.
Yeah, and Tony, it feels like it's hard to believe that they haven't made the Final Four since 1980. That's the year after Bird and Magic. That's how long it's been. You know, you mentioned Tennessee, but think about this. In that game, the fouls were 25 to 12. Zach Edey drew 16 fouls, was called for one. How upset do you think Tennessee is after that game last night?
But they got beat by a worthy team. Purdue's a worthy team, and so was Tennessee. Yeah.
You're right about that. All right, now to the women's tournament. Unbeaten South Carolina is into its 4th consecutive Final Four with a win over Oregon State. NC State joins them after upsetting 1-seed Texas. And tonight, we've got Caitlin Clark in Iowa taking on Angel Reese and LSU early, with Juju Watkins and USC facing Paige Beckers and UConn late. Tony, would you like to start with yesterday's results or tonight's matchups?
Frank, I'm going to leave yesterday all to you whenever you want to deal with it, with the exception of 2 small comments, which is that South Carolina proves its worth every time it goes out there.
I mean,
that's a really good team, and that it's very cool that NC State has both its men's and its women's teams in the Final Four. But tonight is the main event. Everybody wants to see Iowa against LSU. Everybody wants to see Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. Everybody wants to see how they will react to each other on the court. Because if you remember last year when LSU was winning and time was running out, Angel Reese was taunting Caitlin Clark. I think this is the game. I think this could be the highest rated women's game of all time. I mean, I believe that. I think LSU is the better team. Iowa, I watched them a bunch. They don't really play any defense. They're just out there to outscore you. And LSU is the defending champion. And while I understand that the coach of LSU has a vendetta against newspaper stories, which is bad for you and me, considering what we did most of our lives, she also has national championships as a coach at two different schools. I believe she has a championship as a player at a third school. To underrate her or discount her is tremendously foolish. She is a great basketball coach. I will find myself rooting for Iowa because I think it's a better story, but I expect LSU to win.
Yeah, and Kim Mulkey loves the us against the world mentality. And then her players yesterday, all they were doing was throwing bouquets at the feet of Caitlin Clark. They weren't going to, you know, get nasty. One quick thing about NC State, not ranked in the top 25 when the season started, they're in. And obviously South Carolina. For an unbeaten team, it seems like we don't talk about them a lot. Maybe because these other games that you're mentioning, we're talking about the star players. I get it. Cardoza, their big center, is an excellent player. But the star of the team is still the coach. It's like old school college basketball where we talk about the coaches all the time. But here's the thing about tonight's LSU-Iowa game, Tony. They played almost exactly a year ago. It was April 2nd. And it was that game, the 10 million people watched it. But you mentioned what happened at the end of the game. So, Tony, we've been talking about these two teams and Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark for a year now. We don't do that anymore in the men's tournament because the guys come and go. Everyone leaves. It's like an actual rivalry. And then in the nightcap, you're getting Paige Beckers, who, remember, 2 years ago, she was better than Caitlin Clark. She was the the flavor of the month.
Right.
And now you get this great player, Juju Watkins. The star power for the women's game, it's amazing. This could be one of the best nights in the history of the women's tournament.
The word you use, star power, is 100% true. Gino Auriemma will tell you, because he said it out loud, that Paige Beckers is the best player in America. Juju Watkins is the best freshman and maybe the best prospect in America. And they're guards, so they'll have the ball in their hands the entire game. This is America's Got Talent tonight for women's basketball. This is it. Let's move to baseball. It's way too early to draw any conclusions about a season that has 162 games, and the Yankees have played just four. But the Yankees won all four and beat a two-time World Series champion Houston in Houston. Juan Soto, hello, is batting .529. He had the game winner last night. He has the go-ahead RBI in three of his first four games as a Yankee. Frank, how confident should Yankee fans feel after sweeping the Astros?
Yeah, fourth time since 1950 that they'll start a season 4-0. And we know all about right field at Yankee Stadium, and he'll get to test it out Friday in their home opener with, you know, Paul O'Neill, and you think of Reggie Jackson, who, you know, we all know really well from his days with the Yankees. But Soto, remember, first exhibition game with the Yankees, hits a home run. He has a flair for the dramatic, throwing out the runner at home in the opener this year in Houston. The game Saturday night, Tony, Marcus Stroman, think about this. He pitches into the sixth inning. He's trailing in the game. There are men on base. Aaron Boone actually lets him finish the sixth. And what happens at the top of the seventh? Oswaldo Cabrera hits the game-tying home run a couple of batters later. Juan Soto, again, that special quality. You know this. The fans are going to fall in love with this guy. They are absolutely going to love him. The start that he is off to is incredible.
I had the privilege of watching Juan Soto in Washington for four-plus years. I watched him help win a World Series. And then I had the agony of seeing him traded for no apparent reason, as far as I'm concerned. When he was 19 and 20, the comparisons were drawn to Mel Ott. The next guy he's going to be compared to is Babe Ruth. And you're right. He rises to the moment. He was on base 12 times in that series. Nine hits and three walks. As you said, he threw a guy out in the opening game at home plate. And he got the game winner. He didn't get it off some rum-dum who just made the squad overnight. No, he got it off arguably the best relief pitcher in the major leagues, Josh Hader. And he got him once before, Frank. He got him in the wild card game when Hader was pitching for Milwaukee, and he had the game-winning hit there. He is made for New York. He is made. I'm saying this living in Washington. He's made for Yankee State. The Yankees should sign him right away. They shouldn't let him get to be a free agent. But, of course, we know Scott Boras is his agent, and Scott Boras takes you to free agency. Boras was 0 for 5 this year, I think. He's not going 0 for 6 with Soto. No. Not with Soto. No, he's not. No.
And Tony, what about the fact that, you know, they're 4-0, I get it, but the ace of their staff is on the 60-day IL, and he might be out. Who knows? It could be all season. It's still going to come down to pitching. We've seen the Yankees, you know, get carried through the regular season by hitting. Eventually, it's going to come down to pitching, and I don't know if they have enough.
Well, through the first four games, all they've needed is that guy Soto so far.
He's amazing.
Let's take a break.
He's amazing.
Coming up, the Spurs, they've been lousy all season. So should Victor Wembanyama really win Defensive Player of the Year?
And we have to talk about a field goal in the UFL, not just for how long it was, but for who kicked it. It's pretty amazing. You're right about Soto.
We probably have to talk about the UFL, too, because I never knew it was even on. Yeah, Soto's great.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. Our portal to the mortals. I like that phrase. Let me see what's first.
Mail time.
Let me put on glasses here. Frank, do you like Victor Wembanyama's case for Defensive Player of the Year?
You know, their defense, when he's not on the court, their defensive rating, it's a lot different. I get it. The guy's sensational. I have a vote, so there's a pretty good bet he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I don't think he's going to become the first player to be Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. My big thing is, Tony, they have 18 wins. And I get it. You want to look at stuff individually, but it's not impacting winning enough. This is an award he's going to win a lot of times, but I think right now Rudy Gobert, Minnesota's got one of the best defensive teams in the league. I would still give him the nod over his fellow Frenchman, Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling about this is that it matters to others and it doesn't matter much to me. I think what we're talking about is a kid who's 7'4" and is very eager to play defense. I believe he leads the entire league in blocks, something like 286, and he's one block per game ahead of the second best guy, which is an enormous separation there. He's also got like 85 steals, and you say, how could a 7'4" guy sneak up on somebody and steal the ball? But you know this better than I. When he was drafted and anticipatory to his being drafted, people said he was going to change the game. I think we're seeing an evolution of that now, a beginning of that now. He leads all rookies in blocks, in steals, in scoring, and in rebounds. And I would ask, what else is there? I mean, you mentioned Rudy Gobert, who seems to win this every single year. And I got no problem if he wins it again. But Rudy Gobert is a good player. Victor Wembanyama is on track to be 10 times the player Rudy Gobert is, right?
Yeah. And by the way, and Saturday night, think about this. He goes for 40 and 20. Jalen Brunson goes for 61, becomes the 37th player in NBA history to score at least 60. And after the show, I'll give you the other 36 if you'd like.
That would be great. But he also lost, right? That was in a losing effort, if I'm not mistaken.
One.
So that matters. Yes. That matters.
Right.
Here's the next one. What's the word for the winning field goal that Jake Bates kicked to lead the Michigan Panthers over the St. Louis Battlehawks yesterday.
All right. I'm going to say Brandon Aubrey-esque. Of course, that's the kicker for the Cowboys. It went from Notre Dame, you know, playing soccer professionally to kicking field goals. So Bates the other day. Now, this is a guy that played soccer at Central Arkansas, then at Texas State. Then he was on the Arkansas football team, but he was only doing kickoffs, no field goals. What happened this weekend, first field goal that he attempted since high school. He hits a 64-yarder. What do they say? No. A timeout was called. You got to do it again. And then he made it a second time in the same stadium where Justin Tucker made a 66-yarder. Come on, for your first ever professional kick, you make a 64-yarder? Pretty impressive.
So apropos of what you're saying about this kid in the colleges that he went to, I think there'd be a couple of coaches who would say, how stupid am I that I didn't realize that this kid should kick field goals? If you kick a 64-yard field goal in the UFL, the word is hello, NFL. Somebody is going to sign this guy within the next week or so. I mean, because it's 64 is 64. And as you say, Justin Tucker's the only guy with one longer, which is 66. And as you say, he made both. He made the one that they called the time on, and he made the next one, and he hadn't done it since high school. Of equal importance to me was I had no idea the UFL had started. I was watching other things yesterday, and I saw commercials for it. And no, I was completely unaware that the league had started. And I wanted to say, and I'm going to say out loud, how can you schedule against the NCAAs? Are you insane? Yeah. Nobody's going to watch your games. I mean, you had a year to figure out what the window was, and you didn't get the window. Enough email.
There's football.
Let's take
football,
one last break.
All the time.
Go ahead.
I say there's football all the time.
People like to watch it. Yep. There were no crowds in the end zones, though. Still to come.
Yeah.
Should Scottie Scheffler's finish make him more or less confident for the Masters?
And Joel Embiid is reportedly returning this week. How careful should the Sixers be with him?
By the way, the line on that field goal, both field goals, the exact same line. It crossed the bar in the exact same spot. I mean,
would have made it from 70.
This kid, what happened to not kicking field goals in college?
That's
what?
Crazy. Maybe it wasn't good in practice.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Big Finish is brought to you by Enterprise, for lives in drive.
Happy time, people. Happy 36 birthdays, Brooke and Robin Lopez. The twins are currently visible and rather charming in a State Farm commercial where they are sort of kind of wrestling for the basketball in front of a pair of insurance-seeking parents who are sort of kind of upset. Brooke is the center of the Milwaukee Bucks, averaging 12.3 points, 5.3 rebounds per game after not making a single three until his seventh season in the NBA. Brooke has developed a three-point shot. He's shooting 36% from back there. Robin is out of the league. He played on the Bucks with Brooke for 16 games this season, then was traded to Sacramento and subsequently released. The Lopez twins joined the NBA out of Stanford back in 2008, Frank.
You're right about Brook Lopez. If you want to find him, he's usually standing outside the three-point line. You know, he broke in with the Nets. And you think about all the great net players over the years, Dr. J, Super John Williamson, Rick Barry, Buck Williams, Jason Kidd. You know, Brook Lopez is the all-time leading scorer in net franchise history. Well, kind of hard to believe.
Really? No, I never would have thought that. Never. Happy anniversary, Patrick Waugh and Chris Osgood. On this day 26 years ago, while playing for the Avalanche, Wah, arguably the greatest goalie of all time, took part in arguably the greatest goalie fight of all time with Osgood of the Red Wings. The intense rivalry between Colorado and Detroit in the late 1990s boiled over when Wah skated to center ice to challenge Osgood to meet him there. What followed was a stirring exchange that saw Wah land some big rights before Osgood responded with a few of his own and wrestled Wah to the ice. Hockey goalie fights are rare. Soccer goalie fights seem non-existent. Frank, you are a soccer guy. Would you like to see a soccer goalie fight?
Well, you know, they are wearing gloves. The only thing is they're about 100 yards apart. It would take a long time. By then, momentum could die, kind of like when the pitchers come out of the bullpen. By the way, as you know, the most feared goalie in terms of fighting was the guy that won 4 Stanley Cups with the New York Islanders, Billy Smith. Nobody messed with him. Nobody.
Tough guy. I got to watch him a lot as a kid. Happy trails to a third straight win for Scottie Scheffler. The world's number one missed a 5-footer for birdie yesterday and a playoff with Steven Yeager in the Houston Open. Yeager got his first PGA Tour win in his 135th start. Scheffler had won 2 straight tournaments, the prestigious Players' Championship and the Arnold Palmer. The story of his hot start was his putting, which had improved noticeably since going to a mallet putter. But the putter failed him this week. He missed 2 short putts for a double bogey on Friday and missed the 5-footer left on 18 yesterday. Still, Scheffler has been the brightest light on the PGA Tour, and he's pocketed over $9 million for 2 firsts and a second in his last 3 starts.
Yeah, I know you're all over this story. He's the number one ranked player in the world. He's only won 1 major. That was in 22 when he won the Masters. Is he the favorite going into the tournament this week? Next week?
Well, the Masters isn't this week. The Masters is in
next
2 weeks. Yeah. Is he the favorite? He's a co-favorite. John Rahm, and it doesn't matter where John Rahm is playing around the world. Doesn't matter. John Rahm is a co-favorite for everything because John Rahm is as good as anybody in golf. I wonder, will he still have the mallet putter by then? That was Rory McIlroy's idea to get him on a mallet putter. And he was great initially and not terrible this week, but missed putts that really would have helped him win. Let's go to the big finish if we could. Joel Embiid expected to return from his knee injury as soon as Tuesday. Is that too soon?
He's got to get out there eventually. You know, they're in eighth place. He's been out since January 30th. Remember, Tony, if they end up eighth, they could end up playing Boston in the first round, the team that knocked them out last year. Andy Enfield officially left USC for SMU. Does that make sense?
I remember when he went to USC from Florida Gulf Coast and Dunk City. Yeah. The Georgetown people hate him, of course. Yeah, I mean, SMU's going to the ACC. That's a basketball conference. USC's going to the Big Ten football conference still. Mavs snapped the Rockets' 11-game win streak. Big deal.
Yeah, Luka had 47. The Rockets are 2 behind the Warriors. They play this week, but the Warriors have the tiebreaker. It's not going to be easy. Auston Matthews notched his 2nd 60-goal season. Are you impressed?
1 of 8 guys of all time with 260s. Could get 66 this year. Last one, Suns at Pelicans tonight. Is that significant?
It is, because the Suns sit in 8th place trying to get out. By the way, the 37 players I mentioned to score at least 60, Kevin Durant, believe it or not, is not one of them.
He's not one of them. You know, the Suns feel disappointing this year, don't they? They feel disappointing. We're out of time. Yeah. We'll try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Frank Isola. Thanks for watching. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.